It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today.
Our backs are to the wall, ladies and gentlemen, and we've run out of places to hide.
Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We've got a great show for you. Right, it's great.
Hi, gang. This is Fiend Gene Okerlund.
Hey, this is Kevin Nash. You're listening to Doc Young.
I've never heard of a bigger baby in my life
than the legendary Les Thatcher.
I'm now the Les Thatcher.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
Thank you.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
That's pretty damn cool.
That is cool.
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Wrestling Weekly, it's been quite a week, Les.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was Tuesday. I'm going to say, yeah, it sure is.
It's obviously Tuesday because you and I are here, sir.
It's been quite a week. The week's just starting, Doc. So where does that leave us for the rest of it?
I mean, since last Tuesday.
Huh?
I mean, since last Tuesday.
Oh,
that's how I do my weeks.
Huh?
That's how I do my weeks. My week starts on Tuesday.
I see. Your week doesn't start on Sunday like everybody else's.
Nope. I've got a special Doc calendar.
Yeah, I understand it. You know, I've always under the impression that you march to your own drummer. So now, I'm totally aware of that. So I do understand. I understand. This is the end of your week.
Yeah, well,
or the starting of the next week. Which is it? I mean, it can't be both, right?
I guess it would be the end of the week.
Okay. So anyway, so your last week was a bad one.
It was.
Are you talking wrestling wise or personal?
It's a crazy week, all over the place.
Uh-huh.
Both, Les. Both. It's just crazy around here.
Okay.
We got a great show for you tonight. Bruce Mitchell is going to be here with us on the show to do the Hot Topic segment. Bruce Mitchell from the Pro Wrestling Torch. He hasn't been here for a while. But he gave me a call this afternoon, and he's coming on
he
tonight.
He begged you to be on the show.
He did. He said, I feel like, you know, I'm getting lost in the shuffle.
I feel, you know, sometimes that I, you know, ashamed of myself that every week I have to beg to be on the show. But, you know, some of us will do anything to spend time with you, Doc.
Absolutely.
That's just the way it is.
I appreciate that.
And we have J.J. Dillon on tonight.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Of the guest booker DVD.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I watched it the other day. It was really good.
Well, it's about time.
I know it is, isn't it?
That's why Sean sends those to you, you know, to look at.
I know. I actually wanted to see it closer to the interview because I didn't really want to forget anything.
Yeah, right.
So I kind of saved it, and I watched it this weekend. It was really good.
And so you got some good questions by JJ.
I have insightful stuff to run by JJ tonight.
Good.
It's going to be good. How'd you like Raw last night?
Well, if Maria's a wrestler, then I am Heidi Klum.
Yeah, that's kind of
all
ridiculous
right.
Part.
That I mean, the whole girl thing was just really bad. And the one girl in there, the couple girls in there can actually work, can't, or didn't, or could, can't because of everybody else. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I didn't watch the whole thing, but what I did, I watched after Dancing with the Stars went off, from that point on, it was just to see Jericho, honestly. Jericho hasn't missed a beat. He looks physically in great shape. He will carry Randy Orton to where we all probably think Randy should be. What I did like about the show, what I saw, is that Michaels. Well, first of all, back up to Sunday night, there are still a few storytellers in the business. One of them would be Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
And also that match showed you that using holes and psychology and building to a logical finish can capture the people if you actually know how to do that.
Right.
And Sean actually does, and Randy went along for the ride, and that was good. I think Michaels will take Kennedy up a level. I think Jericho will take Randy up a level, and so I thought the way Jericho came back, just you know, with a fire under his rear end and everything, was just great. I like Chris as a person anyway, and you know, I've watched him since he and Lance Storm came into Smokey, you know, back in the early '90s, you know, as the Thrill Seekers, and I'm glad that he's back. The whole Hornswoggle thing, I won't waste the next 45 minutes on that because it's not worth wasting 45 minutes on.
Right.
A couple people involved in wrestling in Minneapolis got an email today who had watched the show. They thought it was, they were actually going to go on YouTube and watch some Southeastern wrestling when it was over. They weren't real happy with the whole thing, but, you know, here's the deal. I am a David Finley fan. You knew that Hornswoggle and Kali was going to be hideous, and of course it was.
Right.
And Finley saved the day. So then Finley saved the day last night. Okay, now that's been done. So if that's going to be the norm, what's your point?
Right.
There is none. You know, because at some point Dave should get tired of sticking his own fat in the fire for the little guy and say, hey, idiot, why don't you stay out of there? Then I don't have to come out there and beat somebody's butt to get you out. I mean, and it's ludicrous anyway.
And redundant, you were about to say.
Yes. Well, it is. Yes. You know? And so next week they'll pick somebody else who's got their, that's in the hot seat, that's they're mad at or something to go out against Hornswoggle, and when they start to pop him, then David comes out and says, you know, it's just,
well,
again,
killer.
You know, my stance, does this make me want to spend $40? I mean, Finley's got a value, but it's more, you know, and the whole thing with Hornswoggle has been, my God, it's like you've taken a wet cloth and wrung it out till it's bone dry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've gotten 17 times the mileage out of it that they should have, and the point is nobody really cares anyway.
Right.
You know, I mean, you heard, well, let's go back to SmackDown on Friday, the weigh-in, which was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it?
No.
Okay. Well, they did a weigh-in, you know, with Hornswoggle, and who weighed 130 pounds, and Kali, who broke the scale. You know, but I mean, the point is, like, there's, you know, like a big fight weigh-in, right? And they
right.
had them both, you know, here's a photo op, you know, and you could hear, you could hear the crowd, you know, in the building. You couldn't. There wasn't any crowd. I mean, they didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, and then the thing last Monday, Steven Regal is funny. Steven is besides the fact that he's a good performer in ring. He also has some talent, you know, with the skits and stuff. But that whole thing about, you know, Hornswoggle beating up Coach with a wig and looking like Kali, again, it's like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Do I care? Does anybody care?
No.
No. Somebody's entertaining themselves. Someone's playing with themselves.
I think you had talked about it before on the show that, you know, if you keep doing, like, terrible, crazy.
Are you going to tell me that somebody's going to start believing it?
No,
please.
But
if I said that, I was drunk or on some kind of hallucinogenic drug. If I said it, it certainly wasn't. I wasn't ever anticipating anything like this.
No, what I meant is that if everything's treated like the greatest thing that ever happened, then nothing special. Do you think that WWE is doing Hornswoggle and women's matches with Maria in them on purpose? So everything else, like Jericho and Shawn Michaels, will seem really special?
Well, you know what? They may well be doing that, but I think it's a waste of their time. And because here's the thing. Jericho can carry Jericho's segments, and Michaels can carry Michaels' segments.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see, you know, the need for that.
Right.
You think that there's a need to drag people down before you try to
yes.
pick them up?
Yes.
Well, you know, here's a funny thing. whether I was in the opening match or whether I was in the main event of a card that I happened to be on, whatever the case was, to me, that opening match being good made it easier for everybody the rest of the night. So, and I know that, you know, there's that talk that, well, we'll put the tag match almost stole the show, so we'll put the women on next, so it'll be a downer, so that makes the final match be stronger, you know, which, yeah, I guess there's that, you know, but to me it's kind of like, I look at it more like good sex, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You start with foreplay early in the matches and get the people warmed up and head for that big climax at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't speak for you or anybody else, but to me, good sex is not me taking a break in the middle, right, to smoke a cigarette or catch some YouTube or anything like that.
Les, you don't even want to know.
No,
the
I don't.
To
you're
that.
Right, Doc. I don't want to know what you think. you're right. I don't. No, but you get my point. No,
yes.
I mean, I don't see the value in that.
Absolutely.
I honestly do not see the value. But like I say, the whole Hornswoggle thing has been ridden hard and put up and should be put up wet, and it won't be, you know. And mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I don't understand the value in the damn thing.
Hmm.
None. Zero. Zilch. But, yeah, the women, and I'm thinking, poor Maria. I mean, she came in. She was in there for, what, 10 seconds? In the match,
mm-hmm.
and messed up. She, when I say messed up, probably maybe to the casual viewer, but I mean, it's obvious if you know how to work that she doesn't.
Right.
You know, she's totally. It's like a duck, like you know, like a fish out of water, and you know, and then the whole thing with you know, with that Jillian Hall did with. With Johnson, yeah, and I'm thinking, see, but I mean, there again. You know what? As dumb as I am, and I'm a better singer than Jillian Hall, and I'm a horrible singer. The last thing you're going to find me do is doing karaoke night or actually trying to get someone that's a Grammy Award winner to listen to me,
mm-hmm.
you know? And again, it comes back to if it's believable, you find it humorous, but when you know it, when she might as well have a big sign saying, this is all a shtick, who cares?
Right.
I mean, you know, Dennis Miller or Robin Williams or Whoopi Goldberg or Billy Crystal come out and do stand, or Steve Martin to come out and do stand up. That's one thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But in the course of a movie or a musical comedy or anything like that, whether it be television or a movie, if you come out flashing a sign, this is all an act, then. You've your audience pretty much doesn't care anyway.
Right.
You know?
They do that in a lot of kid movies, but that's children.
Yeah, well, you know, and then they'll tell you that they're not playing the children.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. white man speak with forked tongue.
there was a couple.
Come on, you know.
Right. There was a couple things that made me chuckle, I guess, on Raw last night. I liked a little twist when Sean was in the ring. He was trying to get Orton in the ring. And Orton comes on the Titantron, and he's like, I'm not coming out there. I'm not stupid. You're going to super kick me. And Sean's just kind of like, oh, all right, you got me. I was going to super kick you in the face. I thought that was funny. It made me laugh.
Well, you know, there's some logic to that, though, too. Wasn't
right.
and it's like the Survivor Series match on the pay-per-view. My friend up in Minnesota made the same. You know, there was a logical finish. And now here's somebody that's worked around the wrestling business, but they make it sound like, gee, that they messed up and did a couple logical finishes.
Right.
Which, what does that say?
They're learning.
Huh?
They're learning?
No, it says that shouldn't be the norm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not the something as to, hey, they did a finish that made sense. I mean, yeah, you know, it's like saying a surfer got wet.
Right.
And your point, of course the surfer got wet, you know, mm-hmm. if he got in the water. But, I mean, you see what I'm saying? The wrestling business is getting away from it. You know, God, I come on here every Tuesday night and go through this nonsense, and even I'm getting bored with it. I'm sure the people in the chat room and listeners are. I mean, but the point is the product is being diluted. And it's not. I'm not picking on WWE or TNA or anybody else. It's just in general, you know. Mm-hmm. It's being diluted, and that's a shame.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. When I said, you know, the thing that jumped off. Well, as you remember, if I told you the last WWE pay per view that jumped off the page was the way Undertaker orchestrated his match.
Mm-hmm.
This time it was Shawn Michaels. But you know what? I can't go through every match and say, hey, so-and-so orchestrated this really well, or so-and-so orchestrated that really well. Why can't I? Well, because there aren't that many storytellers left.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, those, sadly enough, they're few and far between, so they're going to stick out, but those are the people you're looking for. You know, those people are going to carry your franchise.
I like the fact that they had, you know, Orton was building up to this whole stupid thing where the guy running with the torch is going to come and pass the torch to him, and it's just about to get to that point, and wham, here comes Jericho, something that people did want to see, not the torch guy. Now, I thought that was cool, too.
Well, you know, it was, but the further into the show we got and the more times I saw the guy with the torch, I knew that Jericho was going to waylay him somewhere.
If you were looking at the clock, yes.
Yeah, well, you know, and when you came down to the last couple minutes,
right,
you knew that if Jericho's going to pop into here at all, it's going to be now.
Right, and if they would have never, you know, basically told everyone when Jericho was coming, I think that would have been so much more effective.
Well, you know, see, and there was something, too, that we, of course, I wasn't on last week, but 2 weeks ago, I made that, you know, it's like, when that whole, secret decoder ring thing came out, you guys were all wetting yourselves over how to running it backwards and slowing it down frame by frame and getting a nut on it and replacing sex with that and so forth, but it was short term, right?
Yeah.
After a couple weeks, nobody cared.
Yeah.
And it comes back to the Hornswoggle story that we just talked about, you know, but it's like you take something and beat it till it's dead.
Right.
You know,
that's a problem.
And
I think the
only person in the entire United States that has anything to do with wrestling and didn't know that Jericho was going to show up was Randy Orton. And I thought, Randy, how dumb can you be?
Right.
You're the only person that knows it's not Y2J.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, people even had signs, right?
Right.
You know,
they had them last week.
Sure. So, of course, then WWE magazine came out with Y2J on the cover a week before he shows up on the show.
Right.
I've heard some talk about that, and there, you know, some people in the organization get all crazy about the internet or about, you know, things being leaked to the internet.
Right.
And yet their timing sometimes is they're their own worst enemy in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Let's say
nothing had been leaked to the internet, but when Jericho's face shows up on the front cover of that magazine on every newsstand in the United States that carries it a week before he shows up, why wouldn't you know he's coming?
Right.
A story already like he's been there.
Right. My thought is that I think that they probably wanted to bring him back earlier, maybe a couple of weeks ago. Even.
Well, you know, this was said to me, and if it's true, it's silly, maybe it's a speculation, and I don't know. You know, I haven't asked anyone because it's not really that. You know, I'm not going to live or die on the strength of it. But someone had said that in the within the company that since it was being leaked that Jericho was coming, you know, he was going to come back sooner, but they decided to hold off to show those people on the internet.
Right.
Well, you know what? You don't control my match or the way I run my promotion or anybody else on the internet for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they shouldn't control theirs. And when I say that, I don't mean that in a snide way, you know, but that's like, if somebody says, well, Wendy's is popping this new sandwich, and Wendy's finds out that it's been, we're not going to put it out. But you've got all this money invested in advertisement and on and on. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's as my mother used to say, it's cutting your nose off to spite your face.
Right.
You know, you should have, again, in context, Jericho should have showed up on that show before the magazine hit the newsstand.
I wouldn't say that the internet even leaked it. People just figured out from the promos that aired.
Well, you know,
they
maybe they
them.
Did, maybe they didn't. I don't know. Here's the thing. When I talk to people, you know, because I've worked within the industry, I talk to people in the industry. I hear things that I don't utter on this show and I don't write in my weekly column.
Right.
Simply because other people in prominent places know who some of my friends are.
Yes.
And I don't want to get them in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not that I don't hear some things. And it's not, you know, and it's like you as, say, as a writer can say, well, my sources said, and somebody can say, who the hell's talking to Doc Young?
You right. know?
But then somebody can come and say, okay, well, we know Thatcher's tight with this guy and this guy and this guy. So it kind of narrows the field down, right?
Right, right.
Because we know he talks to these people, or he's used to run around with these people, or he's worked, you know what I'm saying? So it just, so I don't, although I hear things, I'm not that source of information, because it's easier to track down my sources. You know?
Another thing is, I mean, Chris Jericho, he just didn't do internet interviews. I mean, this guy was all over the place. He did interviews with the Post. He did interviews with the LA Times. He was on Good Morning America. Everybody knew every time he was coming back anyway. Nobody said that he was the one in the promos they were talking about, but he did say he was coming back.
Sure.
So everybody knew he was coming back.
Yeah. So, you know, anyway, yeah, whatever. You know, it's you know, but like I say, you would have thought it. Now, see, to me, I don't care what you thought on the Internet or what anybody thought on the Internet, or if it had been leaked, that you still don't know it till it happens, right?
Right.
I mean, so the point is, okay, I want to get him on my television show before the damn magazine hits the newsstands.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you pick up the magazine and say, oh, well, hey, here's his interview. But now you saw if you bought the magazine, you saw his interview before he ever appeared on the show.
Right.
Which is not in context.
No.
And
the only thing I can, like I said, is they probably did do this. They probably did withhold Jericho's appearance. And there was already the deadline for the magazine, and the magazine had to go out.
Sure. You know, so anyway, whatever. You know, it's but I think Chris is a breath of fresh air for the company.
Yep.
He's going to inject some new life.
He's going to save us.
Well, I don't know about that. you know, I when I was listening to that, I thought, and my friend Minneapolis, you know, if he's really going to save us, why don't he go shoot all the writers? There's a clever idea. You know, don't take it out on Randy Orton.
That would just be such a Russo-centric storyline, is for one of the wrestlers to have this gimmick where he just beats up the writers. Like,
yeah.
I don't like this. And they go back, and you know, and it's like a whole backstage segment.
Yeah.
That would be it. Russo, if you're listening, I know I'm going to see this on TNA in a few months.
Do what?
I said I know I'm going to see this on TNA in a few months if Russo's listening.
Well, I doubt that he is.
Jim Ross has provided another update today in his blog on his current contract status. I'll just read it for you. It says, the WWE and I are negotiating for a new multi-year contract. The negotiations are progressing, but we haven't ironed out all the details yet. Hopefully this matter will be finalized soon. This is the same status as it was the last blog this subject was addressed. In a perfect world, I would like A-Rod money, but I'm willing to negotiate down from that figure.
So we'd all like A-Rod money. I'm
absolutely.
Sure. $275,000 for 10 years.
You know, a lot of people, they bag on Jim Ross, talk about him towing the company line.
Let me tell you something. Jim Ross, and I Jim is a personal friend, and I respect Jim, probably of all the commentators that I've worked with. You know, he and Gordon, you know, are, and that doesn't say I respected Capra, Bob Caudle, and Lance Russell, but, you know, still,
mm-hmm.
Jim was a good fit in the talent relations because Jim knew the middle ground. And in that situation, you need the middle ground. Now, if you read his blogs, he says, I mean, without actually coming out and saying things, that he's not, you know, it's like there's too much entertainment and not enough sports.
Right.
Man, I couldn't disagree with that in the least. He said that, you know, a lot of the guys today couldn't fit in the 70s and 80s. Brother, he ain't wrong. That's fact of life, too. No, Jim, I think Jim is not a – I mean, listen, you know, there's an old saying, we're all hookers, just a matter of establishing price. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what business it is, you know, but in our business, you work for a promotion, you take their money, then, you know, then you do what that promotion wants done.
Right.
You know, I think Jim, I admire because he fits, you know, he still tries to fit wrestling into sports entertainment.
Right.
And does a damn good job.
Yeah, you know? And I think the blogs, I mean, I don't think anybody else could get away with saying what he says on his blogs.
Here's the other thing, too. He has this luxury. Jim is when I say fixed, I don't know that he's independently wealthy, but I'm sure, you know, he's just opened a restaurant in Oklahoma, and I'm sure he's taken care of his money over the years. So it's not like he's destitute and he needs to work.
Right.
You know, so, and the point is, he's a winner in terms of the job he does.
Mm-hmm.
So and they've tried to replace him and they can't.
Right.
So you know he's in the enviable position of being being in that position.
Right. And
And while we're on commentators, you'll take the next hour and a half and explain to me what value it was for Jerry Lawler to beat Morella twice.
I have no clue. I have no idea where this is going.
Neither does anybody else, but, when I say this, listen, Jerry had his time. Jerry was a hell of a draw. Jerry was a talented worker. That time has passed.
Right.
And I say that with all due respect. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just like, why? You know, I sit, sometimes I watch this guy, I scratch my head, and I'm thinking, should they be drug testing the writers? The creative people maybe should be going to the doctor and being in the cup, I don't know.
Right.
Because it just, you know, it really makes no sense.
I have no clue, but do they have, you know, a story that's going to come out of this? I guess we'll just have to see.
And you know, somebody's going to say, well, Morello's kind of funny. Well, yeah, I know. You know, but again, am I going to pop $40? Because he's funny.
Oh, and Les, you missed my rant last week on the whole Morella stuff.
I did.
I was in rare form, sir.
Well, Doc, when you find anything negative with anything, I find that rare. But
you should go back. It's on the website. Go back and listen to last week's show, my friend. I was in rare form. I was mad at the world.
Well, see, then I felt it. The food poisoning didn't bother me because someone filled my spot. You know, but I that's crazy. I'm not mad at the world. I love the business that I've spent my life in.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't love seeing it bastardized. I'm not sorry. I won't apologize for that. You know, it's like I like ice cream, but I don't mean I like all the flavors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this current flavor doesn't do a lot for me.
Absolutely.
So when I say, like, the things with Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker or Jericho coming, those jump off the page at me, then I get excited about that,
mm-hmm.
You know? The other stuff is okay, we're using that to fill time, and since those people aren't very talented between the bells, you know, that there's something. Rip Rogers, I'll steal from Rip, who's one of the trainers down at OVW, you know, he'll tell you, you know, listen, I don't care what the company is. They can find you the best music. They can have the best costumers and the seamstresses to make you this great stuff. You can go get in the tanning bed until you're, you know, crispy brown. But sooner or later, the bell's going to ring.
Mm-hmm.
And when it does, all that other stuff don't matter. Because if you can't perform, it don't make a damn.
Right.
And that's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I judge it on. See, I don't care what color your tights are or some of the goofy costumes you're wearing or the fact the Miz is one half of the tag team champions. Are you ribbing me? Excuse me?
Right.
His mommy dressed him funny too. I mean, there's no two ways about that costume. He's actually gotten a little better, but. But anyway, that you know, it's to me, it's between the bells is where it counts, you know.
Right. Everything else just dressing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, Flair can be a great interview, but if he can't work, what the hell good's the interview? Then he should be a manager.
Right.
And be interviewing for somebody who can work, you know. So, but Yeah, that's. And by the way, he is endorsing Huckabee for president.
Yes.
That's been all over the news this evening.
I know. Why?
I give up. My wife even said, "Who's Huckabee?"
That's what I said.
Well, he's the governor of Arkansas, but you know, I'm not very political anyway, so all this stuff don't. I mean, I know who Hillary Clinton is just by virtue of who she is.
Right. Okay. You know, he backs so and so for president. So what?
I know.
Is it a slow news week?
I guess and you talk about advanced publicity. The election is not till next November, right?
Good Lord!
You know,
we're going to hear about this for the next year.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's like every 4 years, all the liars come out in mass.
Wow.
We'll spend another $10 trillion on the war against drugs, and we'll see. We'll shaft the old people out of the Social Security.
Yeah.
Good. All right.
Well, I don't know. This has been not the segment that we just did has not been as negative as lately, so that's good.
Okay. Well, you know what? I mean,
what
like
I'm saying
say,
is,
I try to give you some good things. Honestly,
right.
I do.
What I'm saying is, this is Thanksgiving week.
Yeah.
And
it is Thanksgiving week, and I don't know if there's anything to give thanks for, but.
Well, we just said Jericho.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Right.
Michaels.
Well, one thing
Orton coming up.
One thing that happened last week, and I get, but I did talk with Mike Johnson about it on an audio segment on Insider,
mm-hmm.
was the Morrison JBL thing.
Oh yeah, I want to get to that.
Okay.
But let's go. Let's take a break and let's get Bruce Mitchell on.
Okay.
And then we will talk about this this big brawl, I guess, backstage. That happened at SmackDown last week, and we'll talk about that.
I don't know if it was a big brawl or not. It was,
I wouldn't say big brawl, but it was a tiff.
Okay, that's more like it.
We'll put it that way.
More a tiff.
J.J. Dillon coming on the show in just a little while, but right now we're going to take a break here on Wrestling Weekly. We've got Bruce Mitchell from the Pro Wrestling Torch. He's going to be back with us when we come back. It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher here on Wrestling Weekly. Give thanks, guys. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly Radio. We suck just a little bit less than everybody else.
You are absolutely right. You do suck.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn. Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Madmaniacs.com.
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
The legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the internet by storm. Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin's Raven!
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. On WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
All aboard!
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Non-Stop Action Wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Yeah, yeah, baby. I know I'm hot and everything, but you just gotta check out wrestling-radio.com. They're hotter than ever before, with the latest news, videos, and exclusive interviews that you won't get anywhere else. It'll turn you on.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania, the largest arms in the world, run wild on you?
I'll tell you what I'm gonna do, baby. I'm gonna go right to wrestling-radio.com to hear shows like Heaven Legends, The Irish Whip, and Wrestling Weekly. It's unbelievable the amount of wrestling media they have on this website. There's so many wrestling radio shows, it will blow your head off.
If you want some, come get some.
Oh, I'm coming, baby. And it's not too bad either. It's right to wrestling-radio.com. Gotta log on and check out all the stuff going on there. They're better than ever before. With their brand new ideas, wrestling-radio.com is guaranteed to take over the internet and revolutionize wrestling radio like never before.
Let's get ready to suck it!
Wrestling-radio.com, revolutionizing wrestling radio for wrestling fans everywhere.
Mr. Kennedy! Kennedy!
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly, guys. On the line right now from the Pro Wrestling Torch, joining us in the Hot Topic seat once again is Bruce Mitchell. Bruce, I want to thank you for returning to the show again.
I always enjoyed talking to you guys.
Thank you.
Hey, Bruce, is everything a go for Thanksgiving up in Greensboro? I'm heading 1 hour down the road to my... where I grew up, to Durham, North Carolina, to see my mom. And, yeah, everything's really cool. Good All right, cool. Good, man. That's great. Glad to hear it. And we might as well say that we were talking about your good buddy, Johnny Fairplay, winning the bull riding on that particular contest and how excited you were for that.
Yeah, that was something. I happened to – they did a bull riding show in the Greensboro Coliseum the next night as it worked out, and I – went over with him, and he was a babyface. He signed a bunch of autographs, dressed up in the cowboy outfit, and people loved him. It was kind of—I mean, I've never been anywhere where all the people love Johnny, so it was kind of a shock.
Hey, if you could stay
on, there must be some positive for that little devil with his personality. He ends up with all these good-looking actresses and models and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I have to say, he was like that before he got on Survivor, and just like I don't understand it now, I never understood it then. I actually asked one of them one time while he was just mouthing off. And I've never done this to anybody before. I just looked at him and said, "So," and right in front of him, I said, so why? What is it that you see? And she just said, oh, he's not so bad all the time. And just was a smart, really good-looking girl. And I was like, what the? I mean, he's just mouthing off all the time. I think he thought he was impressing me, and he wasn't. It was just like, yikes. But I give him a lot of credit for going 8.5 seconds on a bull. That's
man, yeah. That's,
I never would have thought.
And yeah. I guess they respect that over there.
They should. I mean, it was
yeah. This was on CMT, right?
Yeah, it was on CMT. I mean, they had Rocket Ismail, and I know Jewel and Jewel's boyfriend, Ty Murray, who's like the famous bull rider.
And then MMA guy. I can't think of his name.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
I got a question for you though, since it's Thanksgiving.
What?
What was the biggest or the best Thanksgiving night show that you ever were on?
Wow.
Because, I mean, I know Thanksgiving was the night for professional wrestling for
you. Yeah. You know why, Bruce? I don't know. I really don't, because there were a lot of good Thanksgiving shows.
Yeah.
I remember the biggest Christmas show, because that was 67 in the Charlotte Coliseum, because that was the first huge big angle in a big building that I was ever a major part of.
Right.
But, I don't know for Thanksgiving shows. In the Charlotte territory, that was always Greensboro Ranch that week, anyway. Greensboro, Charlotte.
Right.
Winston-Salem sometimes, the Scope of Norfolk.
Yeah,
it was always big show time, Christmas, Thanksgiving, always.
Yeah, I know I've seen some of the, I hate to use the word old, but some of the old clips and some
right.
of the old things, and seeing your name definitely on some of the Thanksgiving shows here in North Carolina and Greensboro.
You know, Greensboro was always special anyway. You know, I mean, there were times... when Danny Miller and I first came in as a team in 71, the territory wasn't drawn that strong. But even with a half house, Greensboro always had an aura about it. I mean, obviously sold out, it was always better. But you know, I mean, just Greensboro, there was something about wrestling in Greensboro at the Coliseum that was special. And I couldn't even begin to tell you what that was. But
it's like I always think that. But, I mean, I got to go to a lot of shows there and really – see some good stuff. So actually,
yeah.
I graduated from college in that building, so that building has a lot of memories for me in a lot of different
ways. Yeah. I think too, as a performer working for the Crockett's for that office, is when you got to work those shows that you felt like that was, I don't know, a bonus or something special, rather than just working, you know, the weekly. Everybody got to work the weekly shows in most of the towns.
Right.
But everybody didn't always get to work, you know, the big Coliseum shows. So
right, yeah.
So that was kind of, you know, a bonus or an extra payoff or whatever.
Right.
You're doing a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we got a big story this week for Hot Topic, Bruce. And as you know, the Georgia State Athletic and Entertainment Commission has proposed new wrestling rules for the entire state of Georgia.
Now, Doc, I have to ask you
yes,
a question.
Yes.
You saw that story.
I did.
And you thought, I got to find me a hillbilly who can talk about that. Who do I know? And he thought, down there in North Carolina. North Carolina is not quite Georgia, but I bet,
no.
Hillbilly Mitchell can actually relate to relate to what these crackers are trying to pull. I mean, I can see you thinking that way.
No. It's more of this, Bruce. It's more of I want to talk to somebody who's on the inside and has more insight than me on this particular storyline because I don't really have a lot of experience as far as running shows or even working at shows. I've only done little
shows. Well,
that's
perfect because I have no experience in either one. I've experienced in attending the shows.
But you're privy to people who have.
Yeah.
This is why.
Right.
There's currently no commission in North Carolina, is there?
Right. There's nothing here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that this is the start. I don't know whether the trend will be exactly like it is in Georgia, but, I mean, you know, with the congressional investigations coming up and all this, I think that athletic commissions are looking to get more involved in different ways in professional wrestling, and there's good points to it, and there's certainly bad points to it.
All right. I want to go down some of these.
You know, I said to Doc when he said we were going to pursue this with you, I said, you know, there's two sides of that coin, you know, and the one thing, too, that won't make me a popular person, is that, Bruce, you have gone to a lot of independent shows.
Right.
And I said to Doc, one thing, if there is a governing body that actually, and some guidelines, it may put some of the wannabes that should be out of business, out of business.
And, you know, I agree with you, that's not a popular position, but I think that's a good thing. I think that we can go through all the things that, in this proposal, but if it really makes people tighten up their game and say, I've got to pay this tax to the government on top of the other part, I really can't afford to lose money, so I've got to think through, mm-hmm. is this name wrestler that I'm bringing in, is he really going to draw me the money? are the people that I have on the show, are they going to, you know, what I'm going to do really going to get people to come in here instead of, you know, my friends are going to have a good time. I'm going to lose some money, but, you know, and put on a bad product, but I can walk around and act like a big shot, which is what you see in a lot of bad indie shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That goes away. I don't think that help. I don't think those kind of shows help anybody or give anybody an experience or help wrestling. And I think some of the concern, and also, I mean, I know I've seen shows where I thought, that guy was lucky he didn't get hurt, and there's nobody here to help him if he did, and he shouldn't have been doing that to get hurt in the first place.
Now, you know,
either he wasn't in shape, or he didn't have the talent to do it, or it was just too dangerous a spot in front of, you know, 75 people to be trying, or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, and there's no doctor, and there's nobody around. I mean, you know, and every once in a while, the odds come through, and somebody gets hurt pretty badly.
Right.
You know, one of the things in recent time, well, here in when I was wrestling here in Ohio, Cincinnati had a boxing wrestling commission, Cleveland had their own boxing wrestling commission, several of the cities did. But when I had first started my company back in 95, we found out that the state had initiated a commission. And the funny thing was, I happened to read about it in the Cincinnati paper, that it had been in effect for 6 months, and I had no clue, except that I read that a local ex-athlete of some notoriety had been appointed to the commission. So I thought, well, I better find out about this. And then I called up the northern part of the state where the commission was based, and told them, well, you know, I didn't even know there was. I didn't know I was in violation of anything because I didn't even know there was a commission. And I was told, well, you know, we put it in the Cleveland paper. Well, that's good, but Cleveland's 300 miles to the northeast of me. So it didn't do me a lot of good to have it in a Cleveland paper. But then they sent me it's kind of like what I've written about Georgia, but what they were doing was just basically tacking the boxing rules onto professional wrestling. And so then I called back and asked to talk to the commissioner. And because it was like, you know, you want to have an ambulance in attendance and a doctor. And I said, you know, I said, you're effectively going to put a lot of people out of business. It's not affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then I come to find out, well, he had no clue about wrestling in the least anyway. He said, you know, some of these wrestling promotions actually run in bars and nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
I said, brother, you ain't heard the half of it.
Right.
You know, but I mean, that's their over. Predominantly over my lifetime in this business is my biggest complaint in terms of commission is they are about collecting money. They don't afford the wrestlers any guarantee of being paid or particular working conditions or if you're hurt or, you know, other than some of the states send a doctor in to check your blood pressure and your heart rate. But there's not like your license gets you some kind of medical coverage.
Right.
It doesn't do anything for the promoters either. It's just like here in Ohio, the guy said, well, you know, you're going to buy a yearly license as a promoter, and then you're going to send an application in when you want to run a show, and you're going to send us $50 with that application. He said, we're not going to govern you. We're just not even, probably won't even show up. And during the time I promoted, I never saw if there was anybody from the commission ever showed up one of my shows, they never identified themselves.
Right.
Now, without them ever going out in the field, for every one of us that adhered to those rules and bought that $50 permit for each show we ran and the $100 license a year and the $10,000 surety bond, how many guys slipped between the cracks and never spent a dime?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's the part of it, too. It's if they're going to do a commission, they need to have people knowledgeable about the business that they're governing, and they need to, you know, enforce their rules across the spectrum and actually have rules that fit the business that they're looking at, and that's part of it too, and that takes some money, which means that they've got to generate the money through a tax base, and I wonder whether through taxing these, you know, in the various ways you said, like, you know, like getting a license and all that, and there may not be enough shows really to make it worth their while.
So. Right.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I think there's a balance with it. I think they can do some good. But that, you know, go in there and look, do you need an ambulance or can you have trained medical personnel there? Well, how much is that going to cost? And maybe you can do it in a way that makes sense for an independent promotion and isn't going to put them out of business.
Well, you know, I did an interview for a website a week or so ago, and was asked about, you know, drug testing across. Shouldn't it be across the board? I said, well, it sounds good, but do you realize that the cost of drug testing, there, and plus there's so many little independent, there's an independent promotion on every street corner, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no possible way you could do something to govern.
Well, I mean, that part of it. If that happens, that's going to be a sea change in professional wrestling, and that's going to be a major change. That's going to have a lot of implications for good, and it's going to affect. You know, it's going to really put a burden on a lot of people. And,
right.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely.
I mean, but I mean, we can't go. I mean, this is my personal opinion. Things can't go on the way they've been going on the last several years because we've seen what the cost of that is. So.
Sure, sure. I agree with you. Well, you know, one of the things, I don't know if you saw it, not Bruce, but one of the things apparently the Georgia people are talking about, well, they want to stop fighting outside the ring, the use of blood, this and that. The other thing, now, somebody asked me the other day, so what do you think? I said, well, you know, here again, there's two sides of that coin. I don't know, you know, here again, if you understand the wrestling business, then and you have that person that understands it, who's a rep for the commission, is in attendance, then you can give them some guidelines. I mean, there's one thing about going outside the ring momentarily, another thing about spending the whole match out there and going through the audience and putting the fans in harm's way and so forth. But I said, here's the deal, too. If you put those restrictions, then guess what? Everybody's going to have to actually learn how to work a match because there's nothing.
There is that, isn't there?
Yes, there's nothing more telling about how limited someone is the minute you put limitations on what they can do in that match, because some guys, their whole thing is outside the ring and getting blood.
Right.
They couldn't work a whole day if their life depended on it.
Yeah, the shortcuts are, you know, act through their body and use everything that they've got, their personality.
Yeah.
I can understand this. This rule, and this is rule number 6 on this proposal, wrestlers may not deliberately cut themselves, and all wrestlers must be over 18 years of age. That's cool. I'm cool with the age thing.
Well, you know, and now Kentucky has a thing about blood.
Yeah.
But now they also had a czar over there, an emperor, if you will, when I first started promoting, that saw one of our little 5x7 event programs, and where I had a HWA commissioner, he came to me and he said, this is wrong. I said, what's wrong? I'm the commissioner. I said, no, this is, I had to explain to him it was a work.
Right.
You know, and that this guy was the commissioner of my company. And from that day forth, my ring announcer had to announce that these matches are sanctioned by the Kentucky State Athletic Commission, and this guy is head commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
So that he got, you know, it was like all about an ego trip with him.
So he got, so he gave
all
the name.
I mean, I know, Les, I mean, all those years you'd watch the watch the TV out of New York or wherever, and they would announce those guys, and that was part of it. It was a patronage job for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and
then you got your hand out, and you sat down and got your name announced.
Well, see, and this guy came in and said, you aren't allowed to have a ring with a spring under it in the middle, and I don't know if everybody understands it. Some people have, like, a coil spring from a car. I personally don't like those things because I just don't like them. So I've never had a ring like that. But I just wanted to have a little fun with this guy's head. And I said, I don't have one, but why aren't they allowed to have them? He didn't know.
Right.
But he told you couldn't have one. I don't know if somebody just told him that or what, you know. The last year that I had the company, after we were no longer with WWE, we were doing our television in the big Jillian Entertainment Complex just across the river in northern Kentucky. And Jillian's advertised it in their menu, you know, that on Sunday evenings there was HWA wrestling in what was called the warehouses where they had the concerts, you know, bands in for concerts and stuff. But anyway, it was free to the public and free to the guests at Jillian's on Sunday evenings.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes the commissioner in, and, well, you know, we're here to get our 5%. Excuse me, there is no 5%. What do you mean there's no 5%? I said, well, we're not charging. It's free, but we get 5%.
Take,
you know,
5%
and it was hard to explain to this bastion of legality that 5% of nothing was still nothing.
Right.
Because he was just looking for a way to grease the wheels.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, for athletic commissions to work in wrestling, I think in any kind of sport, much of anything. You're going to have professional people that understand and understand the business that they're regulating, and also have relationships with the regular. And I don't mean relationships like, you know, you pass them an envelope, but relationships where they know the companies that are running regularly. They know what they're up to. They know, you know, whether they've got any good sense or not. And you know, it's sort of what you said. If you know the business, you know that if every match somebody's going out into the crowd and pushing down chairs and fighting where the children are, then there's a problem. And if every match there's a bunch of blood, but if the whole show makes sense and then there's, you know, then there's blood in a judicious manner, then you probably go, okay, I can see how this is done and why it works. I mean, it's really hard for people who aren't wrestling fans or don't know the business.
When I was,
they go gross in how it's done, and that's, you know, it's understandable, but you do need somebody with some knowledge of what they're regulating.
Yeah, when I was part of the Southeastern Wrestling office management staff, whatever, back in the 70s. With Ron Fuller, when Ron was the owner, we went to Nashville, met with senators and congressmen, and of course, Jarrett, you know, the other promoters there. But the whole idea was to disband the box, the wrestling commission, and which did happen. But the point I'm trying to make is when we going through this whole conversation, it became apparent that the horse racing commission in the state of Kentucky was governed by people who had horse racing in their background, and the boxing was people who had boxing in their background. And we found out the people who ran the wrestling commission had never bought a ticket to a wrestling show, probably didn't want, and could care less.
Right.
You know, so which made it easier for us to get it disbanded, you know, simply for the fact that the people operating it had no, you know, and that's what I'm saying here, like in Ohio and Kentucky in just recent years. And if the whole, you know, I'm not against Georgia making it healthier. I mean, you know, sometimes you go to some of these little shows and the rings are not safe. They're broken.
Right.
They're put together with duct tape. And in terms of cleanliness, the canvas probably was washed when I was 10 years old and not since. And, you know, things like that. So, yeah, if you're trying to look out for the welfare and safety of the wrestlers, I'm not adverse to that. But let people who understand the business govern it, opposed to some politician's idiot brother who just needs a $100 payday.
I think that's well said. And there are some things in here that, I mean, they just jump out at you as really stupid. Of course, you know, you have to have a valid license, of course. Okay, you know, that's like $100. $10,000 surety bond. Okay, fine. You know, 5% of the gate they want. $100 if a representative comes out to watch your show.
You know what I say? I say let the commission pay that out of their 5%.
Right. And, okay, so it's not only this, not only do you have these steep fees and stuff, but there's also things that are now proposed to have the fans not enjoy the show as much. Number seven, no one under the age of 18 is allowed in any area of the venue other than their seat, except when accompanied by a guardian. Which means if you're 17 years old and you have to go to the bathroom, daddy's got to go with you. If you want to buy popcorn.
No, I don't think that's what that means.
No.
I'll tell you the truth.
This is what this says.
I don't think that means that, like, you can't go to the concession stand, you can't go to the bathroom.
It says any other than their seat.
I think that just means that you can't go in the back.
Well,
and
I understand that. They need to reword that.
I'm all for that. I don't think, you know.
Yeah, I'm all for the dressing room being the wrestler's place.
I am too. I go to the show to see the show, and I can understand what I need, you know, that. If there happens to be somebody I need to talk to, there are other times and other places.
Right.
Well, you know, and part of this, I think, again, is about the welfare. You know, but see, that's the other thing, too. If a promoter is conscientious, I can tell you right now, if when I was promoting, you're coming to work for me the first time, I'm going to tell you, you don't lay a hand on my customers because I don't want that lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite simple.
Right.
You know? You know, I don't have a problem with you going outside between the barrier and the ring apron. But, you know, unless there is a match that's, you know, like falls count anywhere in the building, okay, if that's what we're doing, then my security people are going to be surrounding you, you know, the two wrestlers, while you're out there to be sure that the fans don't get involved and don't get hurt.
Right. And while you don't want that, here's number 11, and I want to know what you guys think about this. A physical or verbal threat of aggression shall not be directed toward any member of the audience.
You know, I have to say, if I was the commissioner and that was on the books, I kind of ignored it. It depends, and it also depends on what it is.
Yeah.
You know, if guys in the ring and they're clearly doing things that people can, I mean, I don't know. That to me, that's judgment, and I also would have no problem with that just thrown out to begin with. But if you got somebody if you got a wrestler cursing at a fan,
right?
It's not necessary. I do think that can turn into a problem. I've seen it turn into a problem.
Sure.
But depending on how you, I guess, encrypt, you know, the rule here. If you're walking out, you're the manager, and somebody's yelling at you, and you turn around, shut up, don't make me smack you. That's against the rule.
Well, you know, that's a literal interpretation, and I'm saying I'm definitely assuming that rule got on the books, and I'm not sure whether it should, but that would be such a literal interpretation of the law.
You know,
and you know, policemen, they have to use good judgment, and mm-hmm. you would assume that these kind of guys would use good judgment and not be there to arbitrarily ruin a show.
Right.
Just to be there to make sure that everything, you know, that the show's run in a professional way and that the customers are safe and get value for their money. And I don't, you know, I think that, yeah, turn around, shut up, you know, you make a, you know, if you're a commissioner or whatever you want to call how people that enforce these rules, you kind of make a fool out of yourself.
Yeah.
Enforcing it to that level.
Well, right. You know, here's something, too, as a promoter. To me, at the independent level, I unlike the big companies, aren't shooting for that 18 to 25 demographic. I want you to bring your family.
Right.
So I want it to be family friendly. So
right.
I don't want, if my heels can't get heat by doing dastardly things to the baby face, I don't want him turning around and calling your mother a hooker. You know, only I'm
right.
using a nicer word than the word that would, you know, or calling her a fat bitch.
Right.
You know, as if, you know, because the story there is, well, sure, Doc, her son and her husband are mad at you. Just called her a fat bitch.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't make you a heel or doesn't get you any kind of heat.
Right.
It just makes you a dumbass who is trying to get cheap heat because you don't know how to work.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's a promotion. A small independent promotion runs regularly, has for years, in Burlington, which is one town over from Greensboro, Burlington, North Carolina, called CWA Mid-Atlantic. And I've been to their shows, and they have their heels, and they don't curse, and they don't do that. That's part of what they try to do, and
mm-hmm.
it's a legitimate thing. You know, it's a legitimate thing to do. And if you've done something, if you're the type, if you're trying to heel, and you've got the guy so upset that he attacks you, you haven't done your job very well.
Right.
You know, that's just literally, we've seen that with wrestlers before, not understanding,
sure,
you know, how to do that. And you can make that threat, but if you're sitting there going, come on, take a swing at me, at a guy that's drunk, then you're not being very responsible. You know,
right.
That security to handle.
You know, earlier this year, I watched a couple times with a group that they were taping everything that they did. But they had this one kid who, on his way to the ring before he was his thought of being a heel, was leaning over the guardrail, getting in people's faces, and you know, berating them. You know, and I told the promoter, I said,
"That's too
man,
inviting.
You're looking for trouble there."
Mm-hmm.
I said because he's putting his head over the rail. If they come over to his side, that's another thing.
Right.
But now, if he sticks his nose in somebody's face and says the wrong thing, and that person tees off at him and he hits them back, well, that video is proof that he initiated it to begin with, and he was in an area of the arena, whether his whole body were there or not, that technically he had no business being in to begin with.
Which you still see sometimes.
Well, but why?
Why?
Because it's not professional wrestling. It's amateur night at the Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and that goes to one of the things I do think that with the 5% is, and all the paperwork you have to do, you have to like really think through what you want to do and be professional about really running the show and not just what you just said. And I'm for that. I really am.
Yeah. See, and that's what I say too. I if you're going to eliminate the wannabes and the promotions that aren't run properly. But I still, but there's still, again, if you have, Well, you know, I'll tell you the truth, Bruce. I said to Doc before we came on the air, I can, off the top of my head, Joe Hamilton, Bobby Simmons, the Oates brothers, Ted Allen, these are all guys who have worked in management, wrestled, refereed. My God, Bobby's a minister, you know, and they all have a healthy respect for the business. They all understand how it should be run. And now, if you, there's a group of guys who, if you put them in and set guidelines, they will, the guidelines will be flexible enough. You can go out and have a good show, but you can't go out there and wreak havoc on the fans and just be a jackass.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, I think what you said was the key about, you want, if it's horse racing, you want someone that knows horse racing.
Sure.
I think so. There are, even today, even as we all get older and things get away from the past in a lot of ways, there's still those people out there that are resources for a commission like this to use. And I bet some of them would enjoy and do a good job at doing something like this and do it in a straightforward manner. So.
Definitely. And this is going, of course, the meeting to finalize all these rules and pass this proposal is going to be December 18th, which just happens to be our final show of the year, Les. So,
okay,
so we'll let everybody know what happens as far as this. But some of these things need to be changed, I think.
Well, you know, and of course, you got to realize with the state of Georgia, it's not a question of why this is going on, because of the Benoit tragedy and the trickle-down effect from the doctor there. And I think the politician, it's an election year. The politicians in Georgia see the spotlight on them, and it's a chance for somebody there to shine. Or if that's not their motive, then the motive is, well, let's take the negative spotlight off of us and make it something positive. But again, it's people who don't understand the industry talking about doing it.
Right. So, I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. But, Bruce, I want to thank you for coming on and discussing this with us. It's a big, you know, it's a big, long story, and it's going to go on for a little bit.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I see it as part of a much larger story.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Because if this passes here, you're going to see a lot of states follow suit.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it all links together to what Les was talking about and why that's happening. I wish I wish this business had done a better job of policing itself, but now it's in a position to have outside forces come in and
yeah.
What's going to happen. So.
You're right. We've brought it on ourselves in a great degree.
Bruce, I want to thank you for being on the show, and we'll talk to you again in a few weeks, guys. Check out pwtorch.com for all of Bruce Mitchell's columns, and of course, you're doing the Raw review still.
Yes, I am. In fact,
very entertaining.
Wrote a column last night, so I'm trying to catch up, and I kind of stopped to talk to you guys.
And we're all invited to your house for Thanksgiving.
Oh boy, yeah, I make a hell of a bowl of popcorn. Love it.
It's a turkey
and
TV
I'll
dinner.
Even buy the beer.
All right.
That's Thanksgiving to me, my friend.
Okay.
thanks for taking time out. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, anytime.
Bruce, always a pleasure. Take care and happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir.
Bruce Mitchell, guys, from Pro Wrestling Torch. Check it out once again, pwtorch.com. Les, that was good stuff. I got a lot of insight.
Well, you know,
from
like
you
said, there's two sides to that coin.
Uh-huh.
And the thing about people actually having to learn to work a professional wrestling match opposed to just going out and getting cheap heat with blood and fighting through the audience with chairs and stuff. You know, I I'm not running for any office, so I don't care if you like my stance on that or not. But there's an art to this business, and there are promotions that run in unsafe conditions, and I won't mention his name, but a very prominent independent wrestler who has worked around the world, honestly. I had coffee with just a couple weekends ago. He was passing through and on his way to a shot and called me, and I went up and met him at a restaurant. We sat and chatted. We hadn't visited in a while. And he said, the independent scene for him has gotten to a point where he now, when he books with a promoter, emphasizes that he only wants to work with professionals, meaning someone who has enough experience that his physical health's not in jeopardy, you know, because, and I understand that.
Right.
Now, somebody who can't work is going to say, well, they think they're too good. Yes. You know, Tiger Woods is not going to go out and play scratch golf with you this weekend, you know,
yeah.
Just because you own a set of clubs.
That's a good point.
You know, because you got a set of shoulder pads, the Colts aren't going to invite you to start with their kickoff team.
Right.
I mean, Well, hey, you know, I've watched a lot of wrestling tapes. Well, congratulations. No, but I think there's got to be to a certain degree governed, but then you've also got to make it feasible for the smaller companies, to be able to run.
Right.
There's got to be a happy medium. But again, I think part of that happy medium is to put it in the hands of people who legitimately understand the wrestling business.
Yes, and hopefully that will happen. Hopefully they'll find some.
Yeah.
Let's move on. I know that we wanted to talk about this incident last week at SmackDown, and let me run this down for probably the three fans who haven't heard this story.
You mean there's three that haven't heard it?
Right, the three that haven't heard it. The Wrestling Observer reported that last week there was an incident at the SmackDown taping in Kansas involving JBL, ripping The Miz and John Morrison for their color commentary they were doing during the CM Punk versus Jamie Noble match on ECW. JBL was said to be upset with Miz and Morrison's ring work during the tag team title match taped for Friday's SmackDown against MVP and Matt Hardy. According to reports, JBL told Miz and Morrison that they both owed an apology to Punk, MVP, and Hardy for making him look bad. The Miz reportedly apologized.
Now, this was not in a match. This was when they were sitting at the desk.
Yes, doing commentary.
Supposedly doing color commentary. Yes,
yes.
Okay, I just want to emphasize that.
The Miz reportedly apologized, but Morrison told JBL to, quote, mind his own business. Morrison has said to apologize to him later, though.
I heard that Morrison made the mistake of shoving JBL.
Yes, it got into
that.
Words, and
that
and
wasn't a smart move on anybody's part.
No,
let me say this. First of all, as far as JBL, I have nothing negative to say about the man. As far as I know, all the stories about hazing, but that's been going on in this business since forever, as far as I know.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I'm not even saying, but I mean, and that would depend, you know, on the severity of the hazing, probably, but it's done, you know, like it or you don't like it, it's just part of the makeup of the business. But my time with JBL is very positive. He's always been respectful and friendly, you know, and so I can only speak from, you know, my own experience, but here's the deal. If there's one thing that one piece of advice I've ever given any of my kids that signed a contract, went with one of the big companies, if I was asked, was take the criticism, regardless of whether you think it's warranted or not, if it's coming from a veteran, someone who's been there, done that, you thank them for their input, and keep that poker face and go on about your business. Now you can go back to your home and punch holes in the wall, or scream and holler, or cry, or do whatever you need to do.
Or beat up your JBL dolls.
Or beat up your JBL dolls. But you give them respect for what they've done. Now, JBL was you know, given the new gimmick, the JBL gimmick, and stepped up to the plate and did a hell of a job with the title.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he cranked it up a notch when he was asked to. As a commentator, he's come a long way, and he does good color. Now,
that's
what those guys did, the stupid thing that he said, and he's right, is that, you know, yes, heels supposedly tear baby faces, but you have to build them up to tear them down.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it becomes to the point is, my thought is, why are they bothering to wrestle this guy if he's such a piece of crap?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I know as when I was working as a commentator, at times in a meeting pre-show where they say, well, you know, in this segment, so and so will come out and sit with you and do color. It was a heel. There were times I just cringe and think, oh Christ, I'm not interested. You know, this is going to be like pulling teeth because you knew this guy was going to come out and it was going to all be about him.
Right.
And part of you being there is to interject your opinion into what's going on in the ring. That's what a color commentator does.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, if you don't make something important, or the guy you're going to wrestle important, then it's not important.
Right.
You know, and that was what, and they didn't do that. And I didn't see the segment from what I understand.
I did.
actually, Taz called him out on it at one point. Said, talk about the match, or look at, there's a match going on in the ring.
Michael Cole was losing his mind.
And you know, he was right.
I'm sorry, Joey Styles, I mean.
You know, and he was right. So they were wrong.
Yes.
They were wrong. Now, I can say I'm not a huge fan of the technical skills of The Miz or the whole goofy gimmick. But now, I've watched Nitro or Morrison, whatever you want to call him, and I think this guy is one of the futures of the company.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I don't care if it's chess, baseball, wrestling, or whatever it is. You give respect to those who have gone before you, those who have been there, done that. I don't give a damn. Well, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, you show them that respect and move on.
So my question was going to be, was Morrison right? Is it JBL's business?
He was just, you know, he was giving it to him from a standpoint of as a commentator.
Mm-hmm.
That yes, it was right. And well, here's the point. If it could have been Mick Foley, it could have been Ron Simmons, it could have been any of the veterans who could have stopped them in the hallway and say, hey, you guys went out there and laid an egg.
Mm-hmm.
You did the wrong thing. You owe those guys an apology. You tore him down, but you never bothered to put him over. So
right.
Why even bother to have the match? But the point is, he was approaching it from a as a color commentator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if to me, I'm not putting him in a class with anybody, but if JR had stopped him and said the same thing, then they should have kept their mouth shut. If Styles, Taz, Michael Cole, because they've all been there, you know? If you're passing through the Coliseum and the ice is down and the guy who drives the Zamboni machine comes to you and tells you something about how to drive the Zamboni machine, since you haven't driven, shut up and listen.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, too. It's not necessarily there's not one person that's designated to be the critiquer, if that's what you want to call him, right?
Right.
I mean, there's nobody saying, okay, tonight you critique everybody's work on the mic or in the match.
Right.
It's just veterans do that with young guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to show them a respect. And I don't give it, you know, it's at this point, in this particular instance, JBL was right. And whether he was right or wrong, that's not even the point. The point is, you say, you know what, John, thank you very much for your input. I appreciate you taking the time with me. And going about your business.
Mm-hmm.
And digest what's been said to you and think, well, maybe that doesn't fit me and maybe this does.
Right.
You know, but for him to say, hey, I'm not doing that because of you or he didn't say screw off. I'm told that he said something else off.
Mm-hmm.
He was wrong.
Right.
You know, and he didn't make any friends by doing that. It was a bad mistake on his part.
Probably not. We're going to run down a Survivor Series really quick and just let you know who won and lost. But before we get to that, I do want to mention this quickly, and I don't really want to say it to be preaching or anything like that, but Maxim Magazine has this article that's coming out in their next issue. It's called The Last Days of Chris Benoit. It's a really long, expansive article. Which basically anybody who's even a casual fan, I think, would find just this story compelling. But there was just one line that really stuck out at me, and I just want to leave it for what it is and quote this line. But it says, "Pop in a DVD of WrestleMania 6, and you'll see the event through a harrowing prism. Of the 45 performers who entered the ring that April night in 1990, a dozen are dead. 27% of wrestling's biggest yearly event, now a morbid footnote." And it's just, wow.
Well, you know, that kind of goes back to what we just said with Bruce. We've
mm-hmm.
kind of, you know, this spotlight that's been put on the industry, we've kind of created ourselves to a certain degree.
Right.
You know? But you know, here's something, just this whole Barry Bonds thing has just come up in the last week where he's indicted on perjury and, you know, and whatever else. It's not about him taking the steroids, it's about him lying about it, right?
Right.
But the point is, there it is, right? And when I say this, I'm not trying to take anything away from wrestling. You know, I mean, in other words, I'm not trying to shed the negative light on something else, but it's, you know, and I've said this on this show before, if you have the competitive drive to make it to the top of the industry in which you work, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the things that it's ranked second or third, everybody wants to be the top dog.
Yeah.
And when you find out if there's something that you can do to enhance that, and you find out someone else is doing that to enhance it, then you are probably are going to take the shot too.
Right.
Right? Now, whether it's baseball, football, track and field, bicycling, we've seen it happen, across the board. So it's not just wrestling, but apparently the lifestyle, the death, and so forth. That was one thing that was brought out in the CNN special a couple weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you get a slap on the wrist your first time, you get 30 days suspension, and where if with track and field, the Olympic sports, it's like lifetime banned if you get caught a second time,
right?
Period. End of story. You're done.
Yep.
So it's you're not going to, and let me say this, you're not going to, I'm sure there's guys slip through the cracks in baseball and in track and field and bicycling and
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So, the death rate isn't there.
Right.
And that's what, and I realize that some of the people they put on the list with wrestling are people who have died of natural causes. They've been out of the business for a while.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or they had some kind of other, some kind of disease. Some of them weren't,
Some of them died in car accidents.
Well, it's like if you every high school football player that might have been paralyzed is lumped into the thing with football, that's going to look pretty bad too.
Right.
But I mean, like the guy that was paralyzed, with the Buffalo Bills this year, that's sad too.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is, but he's alive.
Yes.
I mean, point is, a lot of this negative press we've created ourselves. Just I say created it, not set out to get it, but just by turn the other cheek or turn a blind eye to what's going on.
Right.
Now it's coming back to haunt us, and like this thing in Georgia that we've just discussed with Bruce, is I think an offshoot of that, and you're going to see more of that, and apparently the government now is the Congress or Senate is going to. Going to have some hearings coming up, and so, we're going to have to deal with that.
Yeah. We'll have to see what happens. It's going to be tumultuous, I think.
Well, like I just said, I don't want some state legislator's idiot brother who just needs a payday running wrestling in Georgia, but then on the other hand, I don't want some senator because he's a graduate of Yale and has a law degree trying to run professional wrestling either. But
right.
But if what they do creates a healthier environment for the working conditions for the athletes, then I am definitely for that,
right.
Whatever. But again, there's got to be a middle ground. I'm not the guy that's going to be able to tell you what that is. I'm not a legislator, and I'm not, a rule maker and all that. But, yeah. I'm for people living a long, healthy life, and if what they do creates that, then I'm cool with that, too.
Yeah. We'll have to hope for the best. Let's run through the Royal Rumble real quick. We've got J.J. Dillon coming on with us in just a few minutes.
Through the Royal Rumble?
What?
What?
No, I said we've got J.J. Dillon coming on with us in just a few minutes.
You said something about run through the Royal Rumble.
Yes. So
okay.
let's run through the Royal Rumble real quick before we get JJ on. First off, it was the ECW champion CM Punk defeating The Miz and John Morrison in
Are
triple
you talking
threat
about
match.
Survivor Series?
I'm sorry, yes, you're right, Survivor Series.
Well, I just care because I said, I just repeat, you said Royal Rumble, and I said, what is he talking about?
I don't know why, but I wrote Royal Rumble.
We will have the results of Doc's drug test for those of you listening next week. That will be the highlight of this show.
That's horrible, and I even watched it. All right,
and I can tell you what that drug of choice is. It's a case of Jack Daniels.
No.
No, okay.
No. Mickey James' team won the 10 Divas tag team match.
And that went too long, as I understand.
No, but at least Mickey won. World Tag Team Champions Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch defeated Hardcore Holly and Cody Rhodes, which is really weird because one night they're teaming and then the next night on Raw they're wrestling
well,
each other.
Well, you know what? I talked to somebody about that today, and we were both in agreement that since we work in the business, we understood why they had the match last night. But for the most part, the general public had no perception of it because it was such a quick, so quickly done and such a quick turnaround.
Right, and they didn't really explain it very well.
And the point was that it was like Holly giving him a lesson, you know, and that was what it was supposed to be.
They didn't make it very clear.
But there was no dialogue to build to that. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it was just, hey, we'll do this tonight, and everybody will probably understand it, but they didn't. So,
right.
You know.
They're berating me in the chat room for saying Royal Rumble now. Triple H and Jeff Hardy with Kane and Rey Mysterio won the Survivor Series elimination match against Umaga, Finlay, Big Daddy V, and Mr. Kennedy.
There was a match that it got, you know, like my friend up in Minnesota said, you know, it was it made sense that the team with the most people on it won the thing. It was again, we're making logic stand out like it never happened. Things logical don't happen, but they don't a lot, right? But see, my problem with that particular match wasn't that it was a bad match or necessarily anything about the people in it, but Most of the Survivor Series matches gave there was a build up and a reason why each of those teams were put together, and there was just hey these guys walked down the hallway and I said you're in the Survivor Series match, okay,
right,
you know, because there was no reason for them to be bonding together, you know, it wasn't like they were all plumbers or all 6 feet tall or.
Right.
What I'm saying, or they all had birthdays in November. Or
they were just all standing there at the
time.
They
just all happened to be available. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And I think that, although the match wasn't bad, that I think that no build-up to it and a reason for those teams being put together, that took away from it to a certain degree.
Yeah. Which usually happened in Survivor Series matches. I mean, they usually take, like two people who are in an angle, put them on a separate team, two other people who are in an angle, put them on these separate teams.
Yeah.
But the people on the teams with them don't really have anything in common. And you usually see that in their Survivor Series anyway, because it's so many people. I mean,
but, you know, a lot of times they are put together, though, if you stop and think back over the years, some of the factions.
Yeah, some of them were.
Yes,
or
it's like two particular managers had, one guy had three people in his faction, the other guy had two, so that those five guys were put together. That's,
right.
That's my point.
Right. You
had in other
those.
Words, if we all wear red, then we're together, right?
Right.
Or if we're, I mean, there was something, there was a common bond.
Definitely.
That ran through the team.
You had those, but sometimes
we all
had
needed one guy on the other team, or
right.
But there was always something, and this time there was just, hey, you know, we pull these names out of a hat, and they have to end up on the same team or something.
Right. The Great Khali defeated Hornswoggle by
DQ. Oh,
you're
kidding me. Did he really?
I had to say it. WWE champion Randy Orton defeated Shawn Michaels. Man, that was an excellent match.
Yeah, well, see, again, it reaffirms my belief that if you actually know how to work holes and tell a story and do psychology, then guess what? You know, people will buy it
if
you know what you're doing.
And finally, World Heavyweight Champion Batista defeated The Undertaker in the Hell in a Cell match, which actually surprised me. I thought The Undertaker was going to get it back.
Yeah, I would have figured that too. Excuse me for yawning.
We did not play the...
It's not the company, it's the hours.
Yeah, we did not play the pay-per-view prediction game last week.
No, we weren't together.
We weren't together, and I didn't even play with Adam. I completely forgot about it. So, and I didn't remember until the next day.
Yeah.
So, that didn't happen, but...
Well, you know, something I wanted to bring up real quick, and this got nothing to do with Survivor Series or
yes.
JJ, but in watching the Kaz's match with Angle, I found that to be, a pretty good match. You know, that was their title match, which I could have liked seeing a little more build to it and stuff, but I thought that was, Angle gave him a good match. And,
they're both talented people. Kaz got a lot of people. I think Kaz is pretty underrated.
Well, Frankie's got his. Well, you know, but see, there again, it's only significant if you make it.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, since he hadn't been featured like that, it should have probably been a little longer buildup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tomko and Styles are one of my favorite tag teams. they're different enough on promos and in the ring to gel together. When I watch them the last couple times, I'm thinking, gosh, you know, there was some good, strong babyface team to work with them and sell and fight for the corner and give the babyface the hot tag and the comeback. And I thought, you know, if James Storm would lose that stupid beer bottle and Chris Harris is not being utilized all that well right now, and Jackie could go manage somebody else, those guys were just a strong babyface team that would do the job. It would just, those guys, you know, those four could have a good series of matches. It was elevate everybody.
Yeah, they did, they really did elevate the people they lost to.
I'll tell you what was kind of distressing to me was the hot build up to that one match that Robert Roode had with Joe, with Samoa Joe, with the double blood and everything. When I thought, good, because I think Roode is very is a good talent that's terribly underutilized, and I thought, well, you know, with somebody, the right person, he can be elevated, and I thought Joe's that person, but they had the one match and it was over,
right?
You know, and we're moving on to other things.
Yep.
So again, you know, that was there's some good talent there. It's just it needs to be utilized in the proper manner.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go ahead and take a break, guys. We've got J.J. Dillon coming on. He's got that that new DVD, Guest Booker, from kayfabecommentaries.com. We're going to talk to him about that. You and I have both seen it, Les. It was pretty good. So we'll,
yes, we have.
We'll get into some discussion with him about that. If you guys have seen it, too, get your questions ready, because J.J.'s a-coming. It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back, guys.
You're listening to WrestlingWeekly.com. We always have the scoop on the inside of professional wrestling.
Don't listen to me, people. You can find out for yourself right now at home.
Yeah, yeah, baby. I know I'm hot and everything, but you just got to check out Wrestling-Radio.com. They're hotter than ever before with the latest news, videos, and exclusive interviews that you won't get anywhere else. It'll turn you on.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania, the largest arms in the world, run wild on you?
I'll tell you what I'm going to do, baby. I'm going to go right to Wrestling-Radio.com to hear shows like Heaven Legends, The Irish Whip, and Wrestling Weekly. It's unbelievable the amount of wrestling media they have on this website. There's so many wrestling radio shows, it will blow your head off.
If you want some, come get some.
Oh, I'm coming, baby. And it's not too bad either. It's right to Wrestling-Radio.com. Got to log on and check out all the stuff going on there. They're better than ever before. With their brand new ideas, Wrestling-Radio.com is guaranteed to take over the internet and revolutionize wrestling radio like never before.
Let's get ready to suck it!
Wrestling-Radio.com, revolutionizing wrestling radio for wrestling fans everywhere.
Mr. Kennedy! Kennedy!
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
everybody. Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you at Wrestling Weekly. Man, we had so much show, guys, but there's still a lot more to go as we've got our featured guest on right now. He is, of course, the author of the book Wrestlers Are Like Seagulls, From McMahon to McMahon, and he's also the star of the new DVD Guest Booker with J.J. Dillon. It is J.J. Dillon here with us tonight. I want to thank you for being on the show, J.J.
All right. How you doing, Doc and Les?
Real good. And you know what, Doc? I'm going to tell you what. You get perturbed with me with my eye for detail. Well, our guest tonight makes my eye for detail look like a gnat on an elephant's rear end because he crosses the T twice where I might cross it once.
Well, yeah, you have to have something going for you, and I figured out early on that that was one of my strong suits. So I concentrated on the attention to detail, and it always served me well.
Doc has had a chance. I sat through the DVD, but I told him I've sat through it without the DVD before anyway. But he's got a lot of questions to ask. But you know, one of the things that I want to mention too is I still think that a lot of the basics used in television when you were producing it, or back even in the 70s when I was involved in producing television, are still valuable today. It's just that they're overlooked for the whole idea of the quick pop and making it more entertainment than actually wrestling.
That's true. You know, when I was contacted by Sean Oliver about doing this project, and it was something different. You know, it was a departure from a lot of the shoot interviews and other career-specific interviews I've done or things regarding the book. So. And then once I committed to do it, it was the same weekend as the reunion show in Long Island. So, and I kept looking at the notes that he had given me in advance, and it was kind of one of those things that I wanted to prepare for because I've always taken pride in preparation for anything that I've done. But it was something that it's almost like, how do you prepare for something like this? And I thought, well, I'm going to just wing it and fly by the seat of my pants. And one of my concerns was that the thing might have come across as being too slow paced because, unless you've had experience doing booking, it's the toughest job in the business.
Yeah, you're right.
And what this really brought to my attention, which I've known all along, is that it's a 24/7 job. And it's even more difficult when you stepped away from the business for a while, even to come back into a hypothetical situation like this and say, okay, run with it. When you're booking, you're so focused on the talent roster that you have, the storylines, and it's 24/7. And then the great bookers that I've ever known in the business always approached it the same way, which is why they survived and why they were successful. Certainly Pat Patterson was a 24/7, and I have, you know, Vince McMahon is a 24/7 guy, not only about booking, but about, you know, the business in general. But
Sean made a point on the DVD that if you'd gone out to the store to get groceries and Vince called and he wondered why you weren't sitting by the phone waiting for the phone call.
And that's how it was. An interesting period of my life. It was a time where I've always been involved in the creative side of the business. That side fascinated me, and I guess without realizing it was what was going to give me some longevity, because you can't be an in-ring performer forever. But it's also a fascinating thing because there is no right and wrong. There is so much in between, so much gray, and it's all a matter of opinion. And just like the card they gave me to work with, there was no right or wrong. 10 different guys, if they'd been given that same card, might have had 10 different approaches, all of which could have been successful. But what I drew upon was really I learned a tremendous amount when I was working with the World Wrestling Federation in terms of how to structure television, and like you say, the attention to detail and a lot of notes. And but any time that you're doing booking, and this is what Vince focused a lot of his attention on, was you need to have a long-term plan. You can do one show in any given week, and it's not going to make or break, you know, your business or your promotion, but it's nice to know where you're going long term and have each step be a part of the process. And this is where the people at WCW never really understood that, because they were into ratings, and anybody that's into ratings can hot shot in any given week and throw everything against the wall and get a number. But you have to look at the big picture, and you have to look at long term. And this was really an eye-opening experience for me to step back in time, and I was very glad to hear that, Les, that you enjoyed it, because it was probably one of the more difficult things that I've tackled.
You know, the one thing that that jumped out at me too, and I emphasize this with Doc almost weekly, and you made a point of it too, is that everything you did in booking the television, we might mention too that with Kevin Sullivan, he was booking matches and shows, building up to one big show of the week. Gabe Sapolsky with Ring of Honor, basically the same thing. But you were booking the television to build up to one big pay-per-view. Now, when you and I wrestled together, our television was to build to draw to the house show. Your concept on this DVD was booking television to get me to spend my money on that pay-per-view. Now, what I see today is, first of all, the eye for detail that I had, and you even more so, is not there any longer. And secondly, I almost weekly, when Doc and I talk about what we've seen on television, I say, what does that have to do with me spending $40 for a pay-per-view?
Yeah, and back at the era where, you know, we ran with this particular project, there was more than pay-per-view, because at that point, your live event business was still very healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And was a significant a significant means of your revenue stream. So you had to serve two masters. You were building towards the pay-per-view because the potential there was so great. I always call it basically almost an arena with unlimited seating. But at the same time, you were also running house shows, and you had guys out on the road, and that was you know, they made money for pay-per-view, but you only had five major pay-per-views then, and they only saw those five big checks a year, and not everybody was on top every event. But the house show business was extremely important. So your television show had to continue those storylines, and at the same time you were trying to build for a super show, a pay-per-view, if you will, that didn't really conflict with what your was in your house shows.
All right. I thought one of the more interesting things also on this DVD was pretty much right at the beginning, and that was when you were talking about how you go about choosing an arena that you're going to film television in. For the listeners, can you go down just a few of the details that maybe, I guess, even a wrestling fan might not think of when you're choosing an arena?
Yeah, and as I point out on the DVD, this was not one of the areas that was that I was personally involved with.
Right.
Ed Cohen was booking the arenas. There was a TV production company. Kevin Dunn is still there. Kerwin Sophies was the director, and they basically would go out and do the advanced scouting for the arenas. But you know, you needed a certain size arena that was going to give you a certain look, and you could kind of stand in the back and get your what they call your beauty shot from up above and get an idea of what that was going to look like. And then your high and low cameras to one side didn't really differ significantly, you know, from arena to arena. You didn't want to look like you were in the same building every week, but mm-hmm. you know, there had to be things like dressing room facilities. There were so many people involved in the production that you had to have room to be able to cater and feed the people. You had to be in a locale where you had sufficient hotel rooms to house everybody, and you had to be careful that you weren't going against some other major events in town that all of a sudden you got ready to book your hotel rooms and you came up. So there were a lot of small, and I don't even call them small or insignificant, but a lot of details that wouldn't immediately come to mind. But they had some people that was their specialty, and, of course, they did come back at the WWF to a lot of the same buildings. So you knew ahead of time if you were going to, the White Plains, the building, or if you were going to Poughkeepsie,
got another question for you. And this goes back to, well, firstly, when you were doing this DVD with Kayfabe Commentaries and Sean Oliver, did you know what the pay-per-view card was going to look like beforehand?
Yes, I was given the card 3-4 days in advance.
Okay.
And so I did have a chance to look at the card, but it was a hypothetical card. It was, interpromotional. And because it was that, you had to make certain assumptions that say, Sting and Bret Hart were meeting for the first time, and, all these things had to be, taken into consideration before you really get into the specifics.
I thought what was really interesting, and you said at the beginning of the interview that this is, when you're booking, it's a 24/7 job, and the fact that you had, I guess, on one of these pay-per-view matches, come up with an ending, and a decent scenario for the match, and then on the DVD, the video sort of pauses, and these words come up, and it says, JJ called us the next day and told us he wanted to add this and this and this. As we said, it's a 24/7 job. And I thought that was really cool, but it's also, it's telling it.
Yeah, it's something that it's not like, well, you did it, and okay, I'm done, and walk away from
right.
it. I mean, I had I had driven from Delaware up to Long Island for that weekend, so I had a couple-hour drive back. So that gave me a chance to go back in my mind all the things that we had done, and I'm thinking, what is there? What did I miss? Was there something that could have been better? Thought of that little twist with the tag match that would have made it better. And the other thing is, a lot of guys in the business always had success taking care of their own business, of their own match. The hardest thing is when you have 7, 8, 10 matches or whatever it is on the card that night, and looking for the presentation of that as a whole show, and then looking at the balance, and this is where WCW got into so much trouble, where they had run-ins in virtually every match and foreign objects in every match. I mean, it just, that's where the attention to detail is important, and I think with a pay-per-view in particular, as much as possible, you should give them winners and losers, because that's really what they're paying to see. And that's not always easy.
Jim, you made a point, too. You were just mentioning, too, that, about the guys weren't the same guys on top for every pay-per-view. And I think one of the things that drives my sense of order crazy today is, and I think you agree with me here, I don't care if it's Flair and Steamboat at the height of their feuds and popularity, they were only good for so many matches in the same venue, in the same city, and then they had to get away from one another and work with other people. And now I'll see, wrestler A and wrestler B wrestled each other on the pay-per-view last night, where they're going to wrestle each other again tonight on television. Now, next week, they'll take a girl, so they'll have a mixed person tag match, but they're still against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about guys as talented as Flair and Steamboat.
Well, what has happened, we've had this conversation before, is the lack of talent depth in the business as a whole.
Yeah.
And there's no new talent coming in. And I always thought that kind of cheated the people, too. If they pay a healthy price for a pay-per-view, and then you turn around and return that match the next day on free television, I think you've cheated the guy that spent the money to buy the pay-per-view. And I always, sometimes, there are exceptions to anything, but I think you need to protect that pay-per-view card. But as you're mentioning, they don't have the talent anymore. And especially where television is no longer about enhancement matches, but competitive matches every night, and you only got so much depth. And then when you've split your roster into different brands, you further complicate the problem, because then of the roster that you do have, some guys can't work with other guys.
Yeah, and I think also which complicates the thing too is the fact that they're thinking, well, we're in Poughkeepsie this week, and we're in Buffalo next week, but they're still in my living room every Monday night.
Yep.
You know, and I don't know that the writers see that the way you and I see it.
Yeah.
All right.
I would like to say, too, that I really enjoyed the experience with, you know, with Sean Oliver. I didn't know very little about kayfabe commentaries before. He did send me a couple of tapes, but I was really treated great. It was obvious that they were very knowledgeable and had really put a lot of time into the preparation from their end. And I think this is just the beginning from this company of kayfabe commentaries, because I know they're innovative. They're branching into some other things, just like the concept of a booker is, you know, it's something that nobody else had done, and now they're getting into where there were long-term issues. I think the one was with Greg Valentine and Honky Tonk or something. Where they got both guys and then interviewed them separately about the issue and then got them together. Just Sean and his company are really doing some innovative things to set them apart of everybody else that's out there, because it's very competitive, the DVD market for wrestling, but there's also a lot of fans out there that you know, not thrilled to death with the current product and always looking for something else on the wrestling shelf, and these people are really, really doing a great job.
Right. You know, I've said, Jim, to a lot of I did a column, you know, on a PW Insider Weekly, and I said, you know, if anyone, young people, are involved in any way, shape, or form creatively in this business, if they would buy that 3-DVD set, yours, Sullivan's, and Gabe Sapolsky's, then and watch them over and over, there's no reason that they can't get a hell of an education from that trio of discs.
Yeah, I would hope that there would be something in there to be learned. And that's the fascinating thing, Les, as you know, about the business, that as long as you and I have been in the business and as much experience as we have, you never stop learning. The business changes. You have to change with it. And as I said, when it comes to booking, it's never about right and wrong. There's always more than one way to do something. And of the multiple choices, they can all be successful. And that's where certain guys with their booking style, you know, establish their style of how they did things.
And
a great example of that was Jerry Jarrett and Jerry Lawler, that had a very, very successful run, and they both had a different approach to the business, different styles. One guy would book for 6 months, and, you know, Lawler was more wild and woolly, and Jarrett was more settled down. And so it created a contrast back and forth, and they had a hugely successful run, and both guys were very talented, but they also had their own individual styles.
Yeah. Well, you know, just the thing what Doc was saying too about on your drive back to Delaware, that 2 hours, you were thinking of a better way to do that tag match. But I think that's the thing that a lot of the young people got to understand too, that you've always that the real good creative minds in our business have always been the ones that are constantly thinking of a better way to. I don't care. If we drew 14,000 people last night, then this morning you're thinking, how could we have drawn 15,000?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's still the greatest business in the world, and I love every time that I'm able to get together with I guess I graciously call them old timers, unless you and I are old timers.
Yes, we are.
Whether we go to to see Bill Bowman and the people down at the Gulf Coast Reunion, which is closed to the fans, but it's a great chance to see a lot of guys that I wouldn't see otherwise. And that really was my indoctrination to, you know, this thing of getting together with the guys and reminiscing about old times. And of course, I went from there to Cauliflower Alley, and I've been to the reunion for the last 2 years. And I would like to say the new president, Nick Bockwinkel, had triple bypass surgery recently, and I did get to talk to him over the weekend. He's recovering nicely, and I'm pleased to hear that. And, of course, my one true love that I have to mention in every interview is, what Tony Villano is doing with the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame up in Amsterdam, New York.
Yeah.
It's 6 years in the making, and they've grown. here and see what they've done with it. And I'm happy to continue to support that every opportunity I get.
Jim, do me a favor. Email me Nick's home phone number, because I have misplaced it or lost it or something, when you get a chance.
I sure will.
All right, because I want to give him a call, too. Yeah, that's that Hall of Fame, I have never had a chance to go, but I know I've heard nothing but positive feedback. Well, from you, from Harley, from the guys that have been there, that Tony does a hell of a class act there.
Yeah, and, you know, he and everybody in the beginning, which is typical in the wrestling business, is, well, you know, what's in it for this guy? Well, Tony Villano was a commissioner in New York. Mainly his background was interest in boxing. He was not a wrestling fan as such, and just from being around some of the guys, felt that the wrestling business was such a great business that we deserve to have a legitimate Hall of Fame, just as baseball, basketball, football, hockey, what have you. And he's been an extremely successful businessman. This is not about something that makes him money. It certainly hasn't made him any money. There's no way that he could be compensated for the hours of hard work and dedication he's put into it, let alone commitment to his personal finances. And he's got a crew of people, that are working with him, John Pantozzi and some of the other people that are helping, and they're all dedicated people. They don't get paid for what they do, and they just have a love for the business. And the business that was so good to me, I owe it to do what I can, to help further what their work they've already done.
That sounds wonderful. JJ, I want to thank you for being on. Of course, check out the DVD, guys, at kayfabecommentaries.com. It's the guest booker with J.J. Dillon. And, of course, pick up J.J.'s autobiography, Wrestlers Are Like Seagulls, from McMahon to McMahon.
Yeah, you can go on my website, jjdillon.com. I try to add some new photos every now and then just to freshen it up a little bit, but that's a chance where you can find out all about the book. And for those interested in ordering it, I'm still signing copies is my way of saying thank you at no extra charge over the cost of the book.
Excellent.
Jim, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. I love you, my friend.
Same to you, my friend.
God bless you.
I look forward to seeing you in March down the Gulf Coast, and then later in the year at Cauliflower Alley. And I hope one of these days you will make it a point to get up to Amsterdam to the Hall of Fame.
When they induct you, man, I'll be there.
J.J. Dillon, guys, here on Wrestling Weekly. That's going to wrap it up for this week. Of course, next week we've got Wrestling Society ex-producer Kevin Kleinrock is going to be with us. And also former WWE superstar Chris Masters going to join the show. Should be a good show next week, Les.
All right. And I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
Eat a lot of turkey and think of Doc when you're eating turkey.
That's right. Because I will be having my own turkey. It will be TV dinner turkey. But that's another story. We'll see you next week, guys.